What is happening? Welcome to another Pulse Pitch podcast. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is May 19th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. The Mick Abel guy from Not Larry. Please do not say it's Larry. It's the Jim Carrey movie from the 90s. He made a spot start, and I want to emphasize that because no, he should not be picked up, as Mick Abel is not going to make his next start. That is not the plan for the Phillies, and he goes back down. Then we have to wait, I believe it's 10 days at least, for him to come back. It could be 14. I'm very sorry that I don't know that off the top of my head. I used to, and I forgot. Long story short is that, yeah, he's not going to pitch for a bit. But Mick Abel looked amazing. And it was 6 innings, 0 runs, 5 hits, 0 walks, 9 strikeouts, 18 whiffs, a 38% CSW. He got a King Cole in his MLB debut. Yes, it was against the Pirates. You got to win 84 pitches. He's cool. I really dig the fact that it was 97.3 miles per hour fastballs. It was a 1.4 height adjusted VAA. He didn't have bad extension. Yeah, it's a little bit steep, but I'm sorry, not steep. Yeah, it doesn't have much vert. It's like 16 inches. But my point of the matter is that 97 upstairs and also commanding it well and not just kind of like, whoa, there it is. Like that 90s song. I dig it. It's a 88 mile per hour slider slash cutter with a 84 mile per hour curve. That's what they're going with as far as the designations go. Fine. You have a big breaker, then you have the strike breaker. And that curve went 8 for 22 whiffs. That slider is a really good strike pitch. This works. And I do expect the velocity to drop down from 97 down to about 95, 96 or so. Which makes all the sense because, you know, adrenaline and everything like that. But Mick Abel was a command guy. At least that's what I remember watching him in the spring. I mean, last year even. And seeing him at this velocity, being able to spot that fastball with a flat attack angle, and having two secondaries that are working with a winning ball club who's already willing to put him over 80 pitches. Yeah, that's cool. Aaron Nola and Taiwan Walker are both currently inside this rotation. Just think about that. Aaron Nola is out of that rotation. think about that. Aaron Nola is out of the rotation. Taiwan Walker is in the rotation. What am I trying to say here? We have Zach Wheeler, Luzardo, Sanchez, and Suarez as the healthy ones. I can't think that Taiwan Walker is going to hold this back too long. The problem here with the Phillies, too, is that they have Andrew Painter and Mick Abel. So let's say Aaron Nola misses more than 2 weeks. I imagine they just need to really give him a rest and whatever you want to say about the ankle injury, fine. So that's probably why it was just a spot start. They don't want to put him in and then take him out for, you know, 2-3 starts and then take him out again. It's just Taiwan Walker. They have that, fine. But when there is a bigger move to be made, Painter and Abel would be here, and I want both of those guys on my team. I like Mick Abel more than someone like Max Meyer in that situation, or I like him more than Hayden Birdsong. And by the way, you're thinking, oh, Hayden Birdsong, I got to go and get that guy. No, you don't. I mean, I did in my 12 teamer. I did, and I'm fine with it. A lot of times I'm skeptical about performance of a guy, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't try it. Just because I'm skeptical doesn't mean that they can't do well. I don't know everything, and a lot of times I'm missing things. I see obvious reasons to chase a guy because the strikeout rate is higher, so even though I don't expect it to go well, etc. But I often have skepticism based on long-term, and sometimes in the short-term, you show something new, and it's like, oh, cool, this is why it's working. Never mind. I take back what I said before. So just make the spec ad. But with Hayden Birdsong, there are a couple things I do want to note very quickly. One, he threw 65 pitches to get through 3 innings. And his strike rates have been like 55% in his last 4 or 5 appearances in relief. That's not great. Two, the arsenal is interesting. It's a four-seamer that is kind of empty velocity, except for the vert jumping a lot this year to 18 inches of vert. Now, he also increases velocity from about 95 and change to 96, and he sometimes throws it higher, harder than that with the max effort in the pen. I don't expect that to continue in the rotation as much. Maybe it does, but the vert should probably be there around 18 inches. It was there in those 3 innings with 65 pitches. Actually, the velocity was also kind of there at 96, but the command isn't. And, you know, what's funny is that seeing all these demands of Hayden Birdsong entering the rotation, I prefer Cal Harrison, just so you guys know. Because looking at it, Kyle Harrison is a 25% strikeout guy with a 10% walk rate and, yeah, a decent amount of hits too. Like, he has a 1.29 whip right now. Yeah, 2.31 ERA, fine, it's the bullpen. This is not a guy who's just fixed and just insanely good now. His four-seamer is all over the place still. I'm worried about it. I hope that he does well, but I think Hayden Bursson, especially in that first start, the idea that he's going to go 75 pitches and be efficient enough to go five, I think is a pipe dream. It's possible, but unlikely. So be aware of that. And also, of course, I know that Hayden Birdsong in the rotation. Hey, maybe the opens up more for those kick changeups and curveballs being a thing. The kick change has been a 50% strike rate. It does look pretty when he executes it well. It's 50% strikes. So it's not quite that reliable pitch that we want to be in the curveball that used to be a thing last year a little bit. 40% strikes so far this year. I don't know. It's smaller sample. I get it. He's not a finished product. Mick Abel is a much better pitcher. Unfortunately, Mick Abel is not in that rotation. Okay, Merrill Kelly against the Rockies on Rocky Road did what he's supposed to do. Great, awesome stuff. Andrew Abbott against the Guardians. 5 innings, 0 runs, 4 hits, 3 walks, and 5 Ks. Velocity's back. 93, not 91.5. That's a big deal. Throwing 71% strikes and living upstairs and not caring about it. Now it's against the Guardians. And the Guardians are generally more focused on left-handers. They do have some switch hitters. They do see some right-handers too. There is also something to be said, and I saw this by Larry in the comments of our WordPress site. I normally don't really care for comments on the WordPress site. It's a lot of people just being negative for the sake of being negative, which is just like, why would I answer this? But you made a really good point, Larry, saying that left-handers in general are performing better than usual. And maybe there's something to that. So here's Abbott doing really well with those four-seamers upstairs. The other stuff is still kind of weird. The changeup was effective because of it underneath. The curve is getting no chases. But Andrew Abbott is a mystery a little bit to me. I don't really think that's that good of a four-seamer. The change is fine. It's inconsistent a bit. The curve and sweeper are like, okay. It's sometimes there, sometimes not. And it's not quite this overwhelming guy, but it kind of works. He gets the Cubs next. So we're not into that, but we'll jump back in after that. Paul Skeens against the Phillies. Ace is going to ace with 22 whiffs. And he got out-dueled by Mick Abel, which is fun. Ace is going to ace for Brian Wu. You have Jeffrey Springs against the Giants. 6.2 innings, 1 run, 2 hits, 0 walks, and 5 Ks. Hey, sunshine and rainbows galore for Jeffrey Springs. He had 7 over 25 whiffs on that changeup. Slider did well against righties with 70% strikes in just one hit. And actually, I do want to show you guys, we've actually made even more updates to our glorious pitching app. This is what I use a ton to look up players in for games. This is live StatCast data that we have licensed StatCast data, not scraped like many others. And we have color-coded now by pitch type. We have locations and your batted ball. We even have a standard table to showcase just the individual things if you want to know that. This is no pitches thrown from yesterday. Of course not. I'm just messing this up. This lovely showcase of what we do. But if we do here with Jack Leiter against the Astros, you can see all that here. And also, one of the latest things we saw, we actually added to this, are these lovely test charts that allow you to actually hover over and see what the results were. So this was a ball over here. This was a home run. Yes, a high slider broke this no-hitter for Jack Leiter over here. So if you're listening to the podcast right now, this is our new PL Pro Live Pitching Stats app. It's exclusive for PL Pro. And you can get a discount with 50% off of PL Pro by using promo code PODCAST. That Live Pitching Stats app is a game changer. I cannot express enough. There is no better way to follow the game live than with that app. Better, trust me, better than the game feed of StatCast these days. Like I can't express this enough. It is so much easier to get what you need and right away. You have also Jack Leiter going, of course, 7 innings and 3 runs against the Astros. That one, I love the fact that he went against righties. So that means that Jack Leiter can throw a ton of sliders. And against lefties, a little bit more of a problem for him. Against righties, it's okay. It wasn't the greatest slider. It wasn't the greatest fastball. The fastball wasn't going upstairs as we want it to be. So there's still work in progress here for Jack Leiter. He does have a good schedule. So I'm okay keeping Jack Leiter on my teams and hoping that he gets into that groove, especially against the lefties with that changeup moving forward. Matthew Liberatore did well against the Royals. 6 innings, 1 run, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 5 strikeouts. He wasn't at 95 miles per hour. He was like 93.8. But yeah, it was fine. He did what he needed to do through pitches in the zone. The cutter was kind of eh. He gets Arizona next. This is actually like a real test for Liberatore. I'm not super into it, but yeah, he'll be in questionable start here, and hopefully he can continue on. Yusei Kikuchi against the Dodgers apparently left this game with an ankle injury, but 5.2 innings of one run, 3 hits, 4 walks, and 7 strikeouts. And the four-seamer performed well. This was 7 over 37 whiffs with it nearly 95 miles per hour. The other pitches are just not really quite good, though, at the moment. And I'm amazed that he did this well against the Dodgers. He almost got the gold star in this one for such a performance. But yeah, that obviously goes to Cal Quantrill, who went against the Rays. 5 innings, 1 run, 2 hits, 2 walks, and 6 Ks. It's like he was taunting Shane Boz, and we'll get to Boz later. This was the cutter with high usage and doing well with strikes, not a single ball in play. And now he gets the Angels and the Giants, rocky road, and the Pirates. I'm still not going to do this with Cal Quantrill. I'm so sorry. Even if it's a four-seamer with 93, 94 with decent vert on it, like you can squint and see how this works with that cutter, the vert on the four-seamer and the splitter actually working, which wasn't really here. This is Cal Quantrill maybe at his best, and I just can't do it. I really can't. Michael Wacha, 5 innings of 1 run, 8 hits, 0 walks, and 6 Ks. He got singled out a bit, and he's still really good. I think he's one of the more underrated pitchers actually in fantasy. So he's doing great. Colin Ray against the White Sox did his thing. Cool. 5.1 innings and 1 run, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 3 Ks against the White Sox. Thank you so much. And coming up next for Colin Ray, as a streaming guy, it's really good because you get the Cincinnati Reds in Cincinnati, but then you get them on the road, and then you get the Nationals. And what I'm calling the Cincinnati Reds on the road because they're so bad is the Reds carpet. They roll it out for you, you stroll down, and you walk all over them, and now everybody pays attention to you because what an amazing outing that is. And then, of course, the Nationals are after, which is now Natty Light. So that's lovely. We're going to talk about also everybody else from yesterday's games, including Freddy Peralta, David Peterson, Max Fried, Jackson Jobe, and some disappointments like Verlander and others. So we're going to talk about all of them after this break. Freddy Peralta against the Twins got a win. 5 innings, 1 run, 3 hits, 2 walks, 5 Ks. Everything is cool there. We like this. Thank you so much, Freddy Peralta. Chase Dolander almost survived 5 innings, 4.2 innings of 1 run with 6 Ks and 5 base runners. And that's cool. Way to fight this against the Snecks. You have the four-seamer still struggling to get whiffs. 98 to 97, 97, 98 velocity on it. The curve is getting more strikes than I expected. It actually is that reliable 60 to 65% strike rate, maybe higher in a game instead of 55 that we normally see for curves. But it's just, I can't do this. This was away from Coors. I think that Dolander just doesn't do quite enough. And yeah, 4.2 innings here for 98 pitches showcases that. Lots of foul balls is what you generally see when you see like little things happening and then 98 pitches, foul balls are the answer. And that's because he doesn't have much else. It's like, all right, you have a curve and you have a four-seamer and you don't have a lot of other things to go to. David Peterson against the Yankees, 6 innings, 1 run, 3 hits, 4 walks, and 4 strikeouts. Props to him, man. He has a really good extension, 7.2 feet of extension, 11 for 31 called strikes to right-handers. And with that sinker, curves were a good winner here at nearly 70% strikes. And now you get the Dodgers, and then the White Sox, and then the Dodgers, and then Natty Light. So I think you just got to tough through it because David Peterson is a solid pitcher for you. Ace is going to ace for Max Fried. Pretty cool there. Also, like so many sinkers to lefties, which I love because he's getting extra drop on that. And they were down, and it was great. Jose Berrios is the great undulator. 6 innings, 2 runs, 8 hits, 1 walk, and 4 Ks. I mean, yeah, against the Tigers, sure. He is what he is. Jackson Jobe against the Jays, who, by the way, are a top-tier offense now. Just want to let you guys know that. Yes, top-tier. They have also been underperforming the metrics and also been top 5 in performance the last 2 weeks, which is kind of wild. 6 innings, 2 runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, and 5 strikeouts. It's kind of interesting that like Koufax doesn't help him a ton. And what I mean by that is Koufax is all about BABIP and all of it. There are sometimes pitchers go around the edges really well, and the rare times they actually make mistakes, they get punished. And it just drives me nuts because I see all these pitchers who just throw pitches over the plate and they don't get punished. But then the one time that someone like Jobe does, it gets destroyed. I'm like, this isn't fair. The changeup got 5 for 15 whiffs, which was really cool, really focused on against lefties. The slider wasn't this 48% thrown pitch. It was actually 28%. It only went 2 for 25 whiffs. But he did go really well with four-seamer command on this, and that stabilized, good sinkers in here. I'm feeling like Job is figuring this out, and I love this. And now he gets a really nice schedule moving forward. We're starting to see the rewards of holding on to Job past those kind of rough outings early on in May. Luis L. Ortiz against the Reds in Cincinnati. 5 innings, 2 earned runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, and 7 Ks. Hey, look at this. 100 pitches. So for 5 innings, not so great. Changeup is back. The slider and the heater, 14 whiffs as a four-seamer. And the sinker is so hittable, and it drives me nuts. He just throws it like middle or middle height across the line, maybe a little bit away to righties. And I'm like, what are you doing? It was just like, here's a trio of hits. Why not? And then there's a slider for a homer, and that wasn't a very good pitch. And now Luis L. Ortiz gets the Tigers, the Dodgers, and the Yankees, and you just don't go for this. Speaking of not going for things, Justin Verlander was down to 91. Not 95. Remember last time I said, hey, I just want a day of 91 mile per hour, 95 on the four-seamer, 80 on the slider, and four-seamer and slider command. I just can't get that, all of those things in one start. It's actually not that big of an ask. We normally get like 3 of those, and one is missing. All of it gone here. The 88 mile per hour slider was 83. The fastball, 95 to 91. Four-seamer was a 40% strike rate. So he did terribly here. 5 walks and 1 strike. He has to be hurt. I think he's hurt. Nationals and Marlins are next. But I feel like Verlander is hurt. He's not actually making that start, right? If he's making that start against the Nationals, I don't know. It's weird. We already talked about Jack Zippo. He gets the White Sox next. We're going to do that. That's Jack Leiter. You have Framber Valdez on the other side of that game. Got the win, 7 innings, 3 runs, blah, blah, blah. He's doing his normal Valdez things. That's cool. Michael King, ace, is going to ace against the Mariners. And that hanging sweeper crush for a home run really just hurt my soul. But yeah, he's amazing. The sinker front hip and upstairs to left-handers is so good. Michael Soroka is kind of interesting. He got the win against the Orioles, 5.2 innings with 3 runs, 7 hits, 0 walks, and 8 strikeouts. It was a Philly, yes, and he didn't get that poor quality start. But the breaker that he has, they're calling it a slurve, whatever you want, 36% CSW with a sinker and four-seamer that just was endlessly in the zone. I mean, we're talking like 80%, 90% strikes on those two pitches, which is absurd. Now, the changeup did show up, but it wasn't really that great. It's a work in progress, and I think he is an option to stream against the Giants. So Soroka, I want to believe that he's going to get more command and more starts, and I do think the two-plane movement on that breaker is really good, and the fact that he has two different fastballs is also good. He is destined for a higher hit rate because the Nationals do not have a great defense, and with so many fastball strikes, you will see guys get aggressive on that. So he has to play with that a little bit more, maybe neckbeard a ton, to try to maybe don't throw as many strikes and hopefully you have a feel of your changeup or maybe something else that actually mix in there to keep guys off of just fastball hunting. You have Jonathan Cannon not getting the 18-12 overture, of course, because I don't have any more cannonballs and they take a while to ship. It was against the Cubs. Yeah, we don't really want to go for this. He gets the Orioles and Tigers and Astros, so we're not going to touch Jonathan Cannon. Spencer Schwalbach allowed a grand slam to Rafael Devers on a terrible fastball. Like, why would you throw 93 down middle? Like, what are you doing? And everything else was great for the game, every other inning. But yeah, this wasn't Schwalbach with absurd cutters and sliders and curves. And it's weird. It's like, velocity is there. He's just not quite... It's not quite working the way that we want it to, but we just keep going with it. I think at some point it will click back in and we'll go, oh, beautiful. He's amazing now. Tony Gonsolin against the Angels. You have a disappointing game. 4 innings, 4 earned runs, 4 hits, 5 walks, and 3 Ks. The splitter really let him down. The slider wasn't a big help. It was actually a focus on curves that saved him a bit. 8 for 23 called strikes. And the four-seamer allowed 2 home runs because it's just not that good of a pitch. You do not want Tony Gonsolin for the Mets and Yankees next. Sebi Matthews, so disappointing. Such a good first inning. He struck out of the side. Bam, bam, bam. You love it. 3 up, 3 down via the way of the K. And then 3 innings, 4 earned runs, 5 hits, 3 walks, 5 Ks. Actually, really, the second inning was fine. He got hit a little bit more. Okay. Walked the bases loaded in the third with a 3-1 pitch. Sure, a backdoor cutter that should have been called a strike to Yelich. Okay, but come on. He still got to 3-1. It's so frustrating. Because Zebby Matthews should be great. he should be this command guy with a legit slider and with a good fastball and a cutter for strikes in between. He has a curveball and changeup. He sometimes will throw two. Like, sinker's in there. It all should work. And he is generally a good control guy. And this was very annoying. So you saw in the first inning how good he can be. I'm holding on to this one. And I think that Zebby, it's weird. It gets yips almost. He's like just not comfortable and confident. And he should be. So hopefully he gets there. We have to talk a long time about Shane Baz. And I'll get there in a second. Because Brian Bello against Atlanta, you just don't want to start Brian Bello. He does not have the full feel for his pitches. And that's just that. You have Zach Eflin against the Nationals. Honestly, I mean, you don't throw him against Fenway, but I feel like he's much better than 5.1 innings of 8 earned runs in 10 hits, 0 walks, and 4 Ks. That second inning came with 3 home runs before getting his second out. And just like I was talking about with Job, Eflin like had a lot of really good pitches around the edges. And the ones that weren't, I mean, save for one curveball that was away and CJ Abrams hit out, whatever. But there was like a cutter and a changeup down the pipe that were just like, oh God, it was terrible against lefties. But it's just one of those things where some guys get more punished than they should, and some guys get away with things. Eflin isn't just like the worst pitcher ever all of a sudden, right? This was a terrible day. And I think it's easy for us to just say, well, he's trash now, and he could be. We don't ever want to call humans trash, but it's just probably not what's going to happen. And then you have Shane Baz, and I hate saying this because it feels like snake oil, like it's pseudo analysis. But watching a lot of Baz for the last starts, it's like 5 of the last 6 have just been tough for your fantasy teams. And as I keep saying, like, he's pitching well, though, it does feel like tipping. And I hate that I just said that. But I watched this. I mean, he was throwing 99 miles per hour. And, like, these fastballs should not be hit as much as it was. He allowed 9 hits in this one. 5 earned runs, 2 home runs that were, like, what? How? Okay. It was really, really weird. 2 home runs really allowed all the damage, right, in this one. And it was interesting because I was watching being like, man, like he's allowing hits on this and then they get out of the inning. Okay, fine. Like it was good until all of a sudden it wasn't. It was strange. He's still throwing 97 miles per hour, sometimes 99. Flat attack angle, 17 inches of vert. This should be an amazing four seamer. The curve, like, is a 25% CSW pitch, but should be better than that. Like, the change still looks good. Slider got burned again. Like, he got burned on one of them and threw a second one and got burned again. Like, stop doing this. I know, like, some of them were good. This pitch always kills you every game in some way. I don't know. I feel like they need to hit the reset button. I think they need to look at film to make sure that that's not the problem. But something is up, and it's strange, and I hate that dramatically. I mean, 13 whiffs here, still. Baz should not be doing as poorly as he is. They can send him to the minors if they want and just say like, hey, Cole, here's like 2-3 starts of that. Reset your mind, dominate there, and maybe figure out some tipping thing and then come back and you're just going to be so good. That's how I feel about Shane Baz. All right, that is it for today. So thank you all so much for subscribing to the YouTube channel. We're almost at 10K. We're like 200 subs away, something like that. Like, please help us get there. 10,000 would be a huge achievement for us. We're really excited about it. Also, you should be getting PL Pro. We keep adding more and more and more to this with our PL Live app looking incredible right now. We're also creating a really nice welcome page for you guys so that you can see everything that we offer really easily and just get access to everything that you want. Our PL projections also are absolutely killing it. And I normally just don't say this kind of thing, but like, a lot of people have been coming to me being them using it for it and how successful it's been for them. And I don't want to say much more about it that way, but yeah, they're good. So definitely, definitely look into it a little bit more, guys. But that is it. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.